Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this celebration of the Reformation is our Gospel reading, St. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. We'll read it as we go, but these are the words of God, and so we pray. Sanctify us, O Lord, by your truth. Your word is truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we talk about the Reformation, we have to ask why. Who and why and what for? We have to answer, Luther and sin, his own. And also the church and its inability to deal with it. Luther was a slave to sin, and he knew it. So he went into the monastery to try and beat it out of himself, literally, with a whip. They did those things. With fasting, with praying 8 times a day. Sounds like a slave to me. He was, and church did not help. But in fact, made it worse. He wanted to be free, but he found in that monastic cell that he was more bound than ever. A real slave is one for life. Few cultures in history ever had it different. We can talk about servants and such, the working class and all that, but they don't fit into the definition, even if treated like slaves by some. God allowed the Jews to have servants, indentured even, but this was never for life. Their masters also had to pay them. And then when their term was over, they had to send them off with property so they could start a new life. This was the law. This was God's law. Get the point? The church of Luther's day did not. Well, we almost always do not get it either. It is only by God's way are we ever set free. Our way makes it worse as we go from servant to slave almost daily. That is why we need God's way each week. Else we would keep it that way, that other way, because this is all we know, being born slaves to our sin. We would also choose to keep them all, any and all slaves for life, until they were of no use to us. If we were not free, no way anyone else gets to be. So we have tyrants on the throne. We have oppressive employers. We have the slave trade. Remember 1860? Free labor makes for a comfortable life. If we keep some down, then maybe we are a little more on the up and up. Less enslaved ourselves, maybe. But no, it does not work that way. So the church, having people and being human and all that, has also let us slip into the mode, into the way of, and that way of thinking. It has and still does, unless someone is there to say differently. Like Luther and the 95 Theses. This hammering has to be done again and again, each age, each generation, each day sometimes, or else we change things. We go back to thinking that God must be like us, so we introduce teachings and church practice around our notions rather than God's. Then we tell the world that it also is fine to do these things as well. Yes, they approved of slavery. Yes, the church of the past condoned it. Indirectly, maybe some of the time, but directly also. Slaves, never able to work it off until we are dead. Debtor for life, only to pay it off with our lives. And if there is still more owed, into purgatory we go for a very long time, all to pay and then pay some more. That is what the Roman sacrament of penance and the doctrine of purgatory was all about. And Luther was all about that, with a slave's whip in his hand. All of that, all that spiritual discipline, activity, and work. But it all means nothing, because it is our way, not God's. It's a slave's way, not the way of the freeborn. Yet we were created to be servants, not slaves. To serve is to love, but to be a slave is bitter meaninglessness. Jesus was a servant to all because of his love for us. This was a choice done because he was free to do so. He was not bound to anyone or anything. Luther was thinking slave-like. He was thinking that maybe it all would eventually be paid off, done with. Maybe at least he could avoid a million years or so in purgatory. No, the way of a slave is always the way of a slave. There was always a difference between the slave-born and the free-born. Just read history. Unless someone intervenes, like President Abraham Lincoln. And so it is the same with sin for us. It is slavery for life. Anyone who commits sin is a slave to sin, says Jesus. Who here sins? All of you? Me? Yes. Then you are a slave. Get out of the chains. Well, really, there is no need, as we are already wearing them. They drag us down into a grave. Get out of the chains. Unless, well, getting out of the chains, how are we going to do that? Unless someone intervenes, like God himself sending his Son. So unless the Son sets you free, unless you are adopted by the only real free man in the universe, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God, unless he does, no one ever is. Listen to what St. Paul says about this in Galatians. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son. For the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. Yes, you are now brothers of Jesus, sons and daughters of freedom, children of his Father, all from the gospel that brings freeing faith and trust in our kinsman Redeemer, Jesus. Free, truly free, free. Free, truly. Feel the chains coming off? No? Well, that is because even though the Emancipation Proclamation has been issued, not all the chains came off right away. Many slaves stayed on, thinking it could not be true. Many did not know what else to do as they were born doing it. Many did not hear it for a long time. It takes time. And the free Luther, after discovering the gospel, his and our Emancipation Proclamation said that the death is the last purgatory of the soul. St. Paul tells us in that same letter to the Galatians that even wealthy sons have to come of age before inheriting their father's wealth. They are subject to trustees and not quite free to do what they please yet. When we do get our new bodies free from death and sin forever, we will be of age and mature enough to be able to use this freedom without sin. And so this life is a journey to cross over into the northern states, escaping there through the grave until the entire nation is united under one banner, our standard, one Lord. We are truly free, yes, but still in our former master's territories until the northern armies reach us, Jesus comes back, or we die on the way. The war is over, but there are still little skirmishes going on. The slavers won't accept defeat yet. They are still trying to get their slaves back. Our flesh, the world, and the devil likes being served. They like the fat profits. They don't like the idea of not getting what they want when they want it. They don't like being told no, that we will not do their bidding any longer. So it's a struggle and a fight. As many of our leaders have said, freedom costs. It has to be fought for. This is the church militant, after all. That is what we are and up against. Jesus knew this firsthand. He died to procure this for us. He became a slave to death in our place. Yet this is really being a servant, not a slave. No chains could have held him had he decided otherwise. And death could not hold him once our freedom was won. And so we are still here, but to help free the rest, being by letting them know that slavery has been outlawed. We are here to rescue slaves, tell them it is over. We are to read that adoption paper to them, the gospel of Jesus Christ. By this, we help break those chains. Yes, we who are free serve. We can afford to. Philanthropy, I think it is called. The rich do this, right? How free does money make you? Well, in this world, money is freeing. Don't have to work, don't have to answer to anyone. The analogy still stands. With $100 million, we could be very free to help a whole lot of people, wouldn't we? And that is just it. You see, Luther was a monk for himself. That is slavery. He had to work for those, his masters, to try and free himself. But how could anyone in a cell, chained to a wall, or bound hand and foot, help anyone else? The very rich who are addicted to themselves spend on themselves and hoard the rest, slaves to their money, slaves to sin. Every one of them. Even many who worked hard for it all their lives, they don't want to lose it. Yet some of them, or their children who inherit it all, take up causes. Not always the best ones, but they spend it on others. They can afford it. They were born into it, and yes, almost think it grows on trees to the pain of those who earned it. Yet since Jesus has more wealth and can fit into this universe, since he is the one who has set us free, and then his Father has given us all things with him, earth and heaven, life immortal, we are free to give and to help as if it does grow on trees, because it does. God's tree of life is the source of life and of all things in it. This is wealth that never could be used up. God cannot ever go broke, even by giving his life for us, the whole world. So spend. Give, serve, help. We can afford to do so indiscriminately, even our very lives, to help free others. Many have. They are called martyrs. Those were really the freeborn, the big spenders. They will also reap the biggest return. The greatest in God's eyes is the biggest spender, the servant of all. This is Jesus. And because of Jesus, we can spend like he did. It's his money anyway. So spend on others. Our bodies and our very lives are his anyway, so die trying to free other slaves. Be free and serve. Live free or die. Even if we do die, we still live because we are free. And thanks to Jesus, death cannot keep us. Free at last. This is what the Reformation is all about. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, everlasting. Amen.